proceed?
Let's go.
Can you hear me well enough?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Yeah,
thank
I can.
You. Apologies. This is Joe Turner. I'm the county hearings officer. This is the June 23rd today? 22nd.
23rd.
Hearing for Clackamas County Planning. My name is Joe Turner. I'm the county hearings officer. I'll start with some brief announcements and a summary of the process that will follow so everyone understands how you can participate in the hearing today. My role as the hearing
officer.
Apologies, I just hit a button here.
Alarm, reset.
Sorry. Apologies for that. My role as a hearings officer is to conduct the hearing and make decisions about certain land use matters in Clackamas County. In making those decisions, I'm required to apply the county's existing laws. I am not a policymaker. I don't have the authority to vary from or change the laws. If you think that the laws need to be changed, you can work with Planning Commission and Board of Commissioners to do that. But state law requires that this application be judged based on the laws in effect when the application was filed. As a hearings officer, I'm to provide an unbiased decision maker. I believe I am unbiased with regard to the application before me today. I have not had any pre-hearing contact with any of the parties regarding the substance of the application, and I don't have any interest in the subject properties or any of the surrounding properties. But you have the right to challenge my impartiality, argue that I'm biased in one way or another, and you could do that when it's your opportunity to testify. Procedure will follow. I'll start by asking staff to summarize their staff report, copies of which are available on the county's website. And the applicant will have an opportunity to present their proposal and respond to the staff report. And if anyone else wants to testify in support of the application, they may do so. And then anyone who wants to testify in opposition or with questions or concerns. That should cover everybody that wants to say something about this application. You fall into one of those categories. Once everyone has had an initial opportunity to testify, I will give staff and the applicant only an opportunity to respond to the testimony that was offered. If that response includes any new evidence, I will give everyone a chance to respond to the new evidence. Otherwise, I'll close the public portion of the hearing and announce what I'm going to do. Generally, I will issue a written decision within about 2 weeks after the close of the public record. So if you testify orally or in writing before the close of the record, you'll be sure and receive a copy of my decision when it's issued. Anyone with an interest in this application may offer relevant oral or written testimony. The testimony should be relevant to the applicable approval criteria, which are set out in the staff report. Also, please don't repeat testimony offered by yourself or earlier witnesses. Repeating your testimony doesn't make your case any stronger. It's not a popularity contest. The only issue before me is whether the application does or does not comply with the applicable approval criteria. However, it's important that you make your best case to me. All parties make their best case to me. My decisions are final for purposes of the county. My decision may be appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals, or LUBA. However, LUBA generally will not allow new testimony and evidence on appeal. They'll decide any appeal based on the record before me. So if you feel it's important that myself or any future decision maker knows something about this application, you need to make sure it gets into the record before me. If you feel you need more time to prepare, you can ask me to hold the record open or continue the hearing. If I hold the record open, you'll have an opportunity to submit additional written testimony and evidence before I make a decision. If I continue the hearing, we can come back and do this again at a later date. But whether or not the hearing is continued or the record is held open for any other purpose, state law requires that I hold the record open for an additional week for the applicant alone to submit a final written argument without any new evidence. The applicant can waive that right if they choose, but if anybody else wants me to hold the record open or continue the hearing for any other purpose, you must make that request before the close of the hearing today. I forgot to add, in order to preserve your right to appeal, you or someone expressly representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the record. And in order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue before me. And if the applicant wants to object to any conditions of approval on constitutional grounds, he must make that request before the close of the hearing today as well. Or excuse me, the applicant must raise those issues before me, is what I meant to say. Also, my decisions must comply with state law that requires that I issue a final written decision in this case within 120 days after the application was filed. So there's some limit to how long I can continue the hearing or hold the record open. As far as technical issues, when I call for testimony from the public, you can raise your hand. If you move your mouse, where it appears on this screen, move your mouse on my screen, a little virtual hand, raise hand button appears on the bottom of my screen. Click on that, a little virtual hand will appear next to your name. I'll call for testimony from that. When you testify, staff will unmute you, and I think you may need to unmute yourself as well. And then go ahead and give your testimony. Once you're done testifying, please click on your mute button again so we don't have any issues with feedback. And also please click on the raise your hand button so we know you've had the opportunity to testify. If you're like me calling in and you want to unmute yourself, it's star 6. If you want to raise your hand and you're on the phone, it's star 9 and star 6 to mute yourself again, and then star 9 to lower your hand again. That concludes my introduction. So I will go ahead and open the hearing. And as soon as I find the staff report, I will tell us what the hearing number is. There it is. Apologies, my internet went out right before, about an hour before I was supposed to do this hearing. So I had to run to my mother's house and use her internet. Just gone wrong from there. There it is. So this is a couple of file numbers. File number is Z0127-22HDA, Z0128-22HMV, Z0129-22CMP. Which is the subdivision application. No, that's the habitat application. Then the subdivision application is Z0, no, the same one, sorry. And it's a two-step. Z0125-22ZC, which is the zone change application. And with staff report list Z0126-22-ZC, mass staff, I think
that should be SL.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. So subdivision application is Z0126-22SL. Ms. Blessing, would you go ahead and summarize your staff report?
Okay, and I'm still doing the Zoom script, right, Darcy? Okay.
Yes, please.
Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. Attendees on PC and iPad, you have a raise hand button on the Zoom bar. That's top or bottom, depending on your device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a while. Primarily, you will see participants' cameras, not just the one who's speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name, mailing address, your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of the hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to bblessing@clackamas.us or mail it to Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division, 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon, 97045. The staff contact email is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address, one, by email to the staff contact for the application, or two, by entering it in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. Okay, and now for the staff report.
Before you do, Mr. Blessing, I had a couple just clarification questions. In the printed materials that were sent to me by the county, I have a staff report for proposed 40-lot PUD and habitat conservation, in the habitat conservation and then the habitat conservation review. That's one staff report. Another copy of that same one. But then that seems to be the habitat, that clearly is the habitat conservation area review staff report. The other staff report for the subdivision and zone change, let's say 10-lot minor subdivision, I'm assuming that's also a typographical
error. Yes, sure, yep. Okay. Yep, correct.
And are you doing both the habitat conservation zone change and PUD application all at once?
Yes, indeed, yep.
Thank you. Just wanted to make sure we're not bifurcating this somehow.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Staff report is easier to follow, but I want to make sure I'm on the right page. Go ahead.
Yep, okay, thank you. So, again, this is the staff report. The staff report for file Z0125-22-ZC0126-22-SL, Z0127-22-HDA, Z0128-22-HMV, and Z0129-22-CMP. Five files all consolidated into one review, as we just talked about before. So it's a zone change from FU10, that's future urban 10 acre, to R15 for part of the subject property and R8.5 for part of the subject property. It's also a planned unit development, which will be basically preserving much of the open space in what's called Track B. And then, of course, with the open space, it's the metro area urban, within the urban growth boundary. So there's habitat conservation area, which requires a habitat conservation area, abbreviated HCA, an HCA development permit, map verification, and CMP, which is why there are a number of applications. This is just a quick vicinity map. You have the Sunnyside area in general. The lot is front 100.
Ben, are you supposed to be sharing the screen?
I'm sorry. I wasn't sharing screen. Give me one second here. Sorry about that.
Problem. That's the least of.
There we go. This I think will be a little better. Okay. Good. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the vicinity map. Sunnyside area. Frontage on 142nd, which of course is the road here. You can see from Google Maps. Fairly close to Highway 212 and roughly a mile from Sunnyside. And then there is Sieben Creek, I believe it's pronounced, running through the subject property and the associated canyon down below Highway 212 and then discharging to the Clackamas. So there is the vicinity. A bird's eye view, just a large property in the metro area that's being developed. As you can see, a pretty large tree canopy that will largely be preserved in Track B, as we'll show on the subsequent slides. Looks like the demolition plan shows that pretty much the entire site will be graded for new homes. And as mentioned before, that'll be 40 lots, single family home, and that'll be it'll also be a planned unit development. So there's your alignment. You do have two public roads being proposed. You'll see at the at Southeast 142nd and Southeast Wenzel, essentially the public road is being extended. It's being called a Selly Lane, and there is a cul-de-sac. Obviously, there can't be connectivity onto other properties given the canyon. And then there's a north-south right-of-way, too, that will allow for future access to properties to the north and to the south. So just some of the zone change highlights, close proximity to transit and TriMet Line 30 and 156, that's on Highway 212, just about a half mile, or slightly over a half mile, rather, but fairly close. And that, of course, is an industrial area with, jobs and some limited retail and so forth. So there is good close proximity to that, which is ideal for some of the smaller lots in the low density zoning district, such as RA.5. There's access to public roads, public utilities, and there is transportation capacity for a subdivision of this size, as noted in the transportation study. It didn't exceed thresholds for ODOT, so it's meeting the transportation planning rule, as noted in the staff report. Again, track B will be, is the open space area with steep slopes and environmental areas such as the HCA, and that will be reserved for R15 zoning. R15 zoning district, which is a larger lot zoning designation, and which is appropriate given all the constraints in that area. And the flat area will be zoned R8.5, and that's considered a smaller lot designation. So staff's recommendation is that the plan submitted by the applicant is sufficient, and the zone change should be is recommended to be approved as noted in, I think, sheet P14, as noted in the staff report. This is the zoning pattern. You'll see in this area, a lot of it, FU10, it's being rezoned as it's in an urban area with services. So you have R8.5 to the west, to the northwest, to the east, as well as some of the larger lots, or some of the areas adjoining Seaman Creek and other areas being R15 and R10. So again, that's designation seems appropriate where track B is R15 and where the flat area that will contain the lots will be R8.5. So the subdivision highlights again, Z0126-22-SL, 40 lot subdivision and planned unit development. PUD will preserve natural features and the environmental areas in track B while transferring density to the flat part of the lot for development. So that's the benefit of having a planned unit development. You preserve the natural features, the environmental areas, and some of the lots have some flexibility in size. And in this case, with this subdivision, there is a good flexible lot size pattern, and that's with the PUD, they'll be able to have some flexibility in single family home design as well. Just some general highlights, sidewalks, street trees, and curbs required on the public road right of way on 142nd. There's going to be a bike way there. It's a minor arterial, I believe. Then of course you're going to have public road construction noted before, a Silly Lane and Andre Way will be the minimum 54-foot wide public right-of-way, which is the standard cross-section. And then they'll have some private access drives for lots 30 and 33 to 34, I believe, which are standard width for just access drives. And then, of course, the traffic memo and addendum show that there's sufficient transportation traffic adequacy. So the one item to note is the conceptual trail, the trail map on the comprehensive plan maps that was noted in the staff report. There's a map trail delineating comp plan map 5-2A and on NCP North Clackamas Park and Recreation District, abbreviated NCPRD facility, not faculty, plan map and Metro's Greenway map. So this is just a snapshot of the comp plan map showing a conceptual alignment. So in the ZDO, staff notes that ZDO section 1007.04L requires trails mapped on corresponding comprehensive plan maps to be constructed and adequately dedicated. That's summarized 1007.04L. However, staff noted in the staff report there is no clear and objective criteria that shows where the precise trail alignment shall be constructed. And also there is no identified clear and objective criteria showing what construction and dimensional standards should be used in the trail development. So as a result, staff noted in the staff report that per ORS 197.307, there's not clear and objective standards. So it's not recommending trail construction and dedication as required in that ZDO subsection. There was a letter sent by North Clackamas Parks and Recreation District yesterday. It was received this morning, Exhibit 26. The letter makes several citations to the comp plan policies, maps, roadway standards, the NCPRD master plan policies, and generally noting that trail should be constructed and dedicated in conjunction with NCPRD staff and their apparent rules and regulations. Staff briefly reviewed the letter. There wasn't sufficient time to give a written response or to delve into the letter in any kind of detail, other than staff did do a brief look at the citations, and it does appear that there was no citations that would change staff's recommendation at this point. Staff still of the opinion that there isn't clear, precise, objective standards for trail alignment and trail construction standards. And finally, those last three permits, the HCA, the Habitat Conservation Area, again, HCA, the HCA, sorry, I don't have a map, but they are in the exhibits, but basically it's contained within the Track B. The applicant's doing a good job of basically preserving that. There's only 700 square feet of disturbance just to accommodate the stormwater utility, basically the splash pad and the splash blocks and the utility piping to the discharge point near the creek for the stormwater. But other than that, it's being preserved, and it met the HCA requirements for a subdivision and the maximum amount of disturbance area. So with that, staff recommends approval of the zone change, approval of the 40-lot subdivision, and approval of the three HCA maps. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blessing. I have several questions that's mostly just clarification. Starting on page 8 of the staff report, the transportation TPR TSP, I believe. Anyway, the last paragraph, last sentence there says altogether the document satisfied county engineering and ODOT that the that's basically what the sentence says. But both of them noted that there's no evidence in the record that the TSP analysis. They said a finding that the zone change is consistent with the TSP as required under TPR Section 9 cannot be made. That's from Exhibit 12, the County Development Engineering, and ODOT made a similar statement in Exhibit 13, unable to determine that there will not be a significant effect on state highway facilities. You're muted, Mr. Blessing.
I'm sorry. I'm not following. My apologies. I'm not following precisely. Are you noting the actual exhibits from ODOT or my findings in the staff report?
Well, your finding in the staff report on page 8 says altogether the documents satisfied the county engineering and ODOT. Period.
Okay.
But then the county engineer and ODOT both said that the zone change, they can't find that the zone change is consistent with the TSP as required under TPR Section 9.
What?
That's exhibit.
And so that's okay. So they're saying that in their notes, right?
Right.
And that's exhibit. Yeah. Let's see here. Exhibit
12 and 13.
Okay. So we have Ken Kent here, but ultimately my understanding, I can summarize, and Ken, you can obviously supplement, but the initial staff, the initial traffic impact study didn't address the TPR sufficiently. And so then our county and transportation engineering staff, Christian Snuffin and with Ken Kent, noted that there wasn't enough, that our comprehensive plan noted that the build out had to be to 2033. And so then they subsequently mm-hmm. submitted an addendum one, that was they being the transportation, the project engineer, I'm sorry, the transportation and traffic engineer for the applicant. They made an addendum mm-hmm. trying to say that the TPR was not applicable, or I'm sorry, that the TPR had some exception. Sorry, I can't remember the exact citation. I can find it for you. But then Christian Snuff and Ken Kent with County Engineering noted that TPR exception in Section 9 of the TPR didn't apply. So then they submitted Addendum 2, which did the proper TPR analysis, and that Addendum 2 satisfied Clackamas County Transportation Engineering, Christian Snuffin and Ken Kent.
Do you know offhand if there's an exhibit to that effect?
It should be Exhibit 11, 10 and 11.
On just a sec. Got a pile of documents here. Off the applicant. 10 and 11?
Yeah,
those. 10 is the applicant engineer. And 11. Says we respectfully disagree that Section 9 is not applicable. Believe it does apply and is clearly satisfied. Okay, that's the part I missed. So, Mr. Kent,
I can add that the reference that Kenneth Kent with Clackamas County Engineering.
Thank you.
The reference that the applicant's traffic engineer addressed for the transportation planning rule, it's also quoted in that. Addendum to the traffic study relates to the Oregon Highway Plan, where when a project does not exceed or generate more than 400 average daily vehicle trips, can be deemed having a small impact on the transportation system and basically would not result in a significant increase or impacts. And with that, County Engineering agreed that that satisfies the transportation planning rule. There was a question on the Section 9 of the transportation planning rule and being able to determine that this particular zone change is consistent with our TSP without additional information on what the TSP covered and whether it addressed, you know, this particular zoning. But under that Oregon Highway Plan provision that's stated in the traffic addendum, it satisfied the TPR analysis.
Okay. So that they do meet the TPR. Great.
Yes.
Thank you. On page 15 of the staff report, it lists under Section 1 recommendation, it says it's a minor subdivision. Is that correct?
Typo.
Major?
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, that's a typo. That should be major. Yep.
Okay. That's what I just wanted to confirm.
Yep.
Page 34. Under 1201 Hillsides, the number A1 and then the italicized. Again, I think it's just a typo. The applicant's submitted plan has not indicated this criterion can be met.
That's confirmed. Should be struck.
Okay.
It should be met. It has been met. Correct.
Okay. Good. I suspected, but
big report.
Yeah. Page 42. And no disparagement here. I just want to make sure it's clear. Page 42, C1 says the applicant has signed the statement of feasibility. I'm assuming that should be West Water Environment Services.
Yes, correct. It should have been. It should be Water Environmental Service. Actually, it should be Clackamas Water Environmental Services. So and then West.
CWES?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. 40. Oops. I'm crossing out the wrong pages. 3. Page 43, below number 5, just above E, it says a water course is not present on the subject property. Isn't the creek on the property?
It is. What it should read, recommend that it should read something to the effect of water course will not be affected or okay. altered in any way.
Okay. Page 44. Number 8, surface water management and erosion control planning required for significant residential. It seems that's not clear and objective.
That's correct. Yeah, I think that agreed. Yep.
Okay. Page 51. There's two here under C. Under C, there's just no finding. It says that cul-de-sacs are prohibited except for natural features preclude it. I'm summarizing. And I'm assuming that it is met there, but I didn't see a finding to that effect.
I'm sorry. You said page 50 on what was the site?
5-1 and number C. 51.
Oh, 51. 5-1 at number C. 51. D1 5-1 on page 51.
No, page 51, number C.
New county and public roads terminating in cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, there's no finding after that. Or that relates to that standard.
Roads longer than 150 feet are required to provide a turnaround that can accommodate emergency service vehicles as well as garbage. So there's no specific. So there's no specifics to the cul-de-sac. That's what.
There's nothing about each precluded. I think it's clear from the record. I'll put a finding.
You know. Yeah. Let me just read here.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be new county and public roads terminating in cul-de-sacs or other dead-end turnarounds are prohibited, except for natural features such as topography. Oh, I see what you're saying. Sorry. Yes, you're right. A finding would need to say that given track B and the associated topography, basically a turnaround would be warranted there.
I think that's easy enough to make that finding. Then the finding that is there, the roads longer than 150 feet are required to provide a turnaround. What standard is that addressing?
Well, this was, basically that was from the imported from the engineering comments. So it may not have been specifically addressed therein, but I would assume that is probably, it might be satisfying another ZDO criteria or the roadway standard. So it could have been, it may not have been appropriate in that spot.
I'll track it down and fix it, assuming we get to that point. So page 57. Number I, access ways. Seems to be not clear and objective. Either because it says access ways shall be required where necessary to provide direct routes to destinations not otherwise provided by the road system and where topography permits.
I agree with that.
Two more, page 67. Under 1011, open 101301, open space area of application. The first question is, it says 1011 open space, then 101301 area of application. Is one of those a typo? One should be 11
yes.
or 13?
The under area of application, that should actually say 1011.01.
Thanks.
Let me just confirm that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say,
let me just
confirm that. It'll take just a second here. I'm going to go to the actual ZDO and verify that. It should be that. Yes, 1011.01 is correct, not 1013.01.
This is just a minor typo, which I will fix, but it says the applicant's plan show open space is generally confined within track B or some areas that encroach on the proposed lots. Some open space areas?
Yeah.
Should that say some open space?
Okay. Yep, correct.
And then on to say 1101C identifies three high priority open space standards, including bodies of water such as rivers, lakes, or lagoons. Is a stream included as a river? So does it fall within that standard?
No.
Okay. And the HCA staff report. I have one more question.
Yep.
Page 7. On page 7 of the HCA staff report,
okay, oops.
This is just under project review. Let me know when you get there. It's the middle paragraph as outlined in the HCA, Title 13.
Yep.
Okay. The majority of the HCA, roughly 21,000 square feet or about half an acre, shall be preserved as Tract B. Is that accurate? I thought it was a nine plus acre open space, or is just the HCA a half acre?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I calculated roughly.
As soon as I read that out loud, it made sense.
Yep.
Those are the only one last one. You mentioned CMP in relation to the HCA. What does that stand for?
Yeah, that means construction management plan.
Thank you. Manage. I'm writing that down. Okay. Those are the only questions I had. Thank you. Sorry we had to go through that one at a time. But
no worries.
Is the applicant's opportunity to testify in response to the staff report?
Thank you, Mr. Turner, Mr. Blessing. I have a brief slideshow to present.
Can we get your record, please?
My name's Chris Goodell of AKS Engineering. Address is 12965 Southwest Herman Road, Suite 100, Tualatin, Oregon, 97062.
Thank you.
And am I able to share my screen? Okay.
Should be able to, but you're not seeing it yet.
Okay, here we go. Let's see if this works. Where is the slideshow? Here it is. And I want.
Okay, we see it.
All right. Just a second here. Okay. So again, my name is Chris Goodell with AKS. We're working for the applicant, Ryan Park Development. And as part of this preparing this application, we provided land surveying services, civil engineering services, planning services, and a variety of other services. There are other consultants on the project team, including a traffic engineering firm, Lancaster Mobley, and a geotechnical engineering firm, Geopacific Engineering. And so members of AKS's civil engineering team and surveying team along with planning, which would be me, and Lancaster Mobley are here to answer any questions that might come up. So very briefly, this is a vicinity map showing the subject property. It's located at 14914 Southeast 142nd Avenue in Clackamas. It's approximately 21 acres. The service providers for this area are Sunrise Water Authority for water. As Ben noted, it's no longer CCSD number one. I think now they call themselves Clackamas West. And Clackamas Fire District number one provides emergency fire prevention services. Some brief information about the property. Currently, it has two different zoning designations that are shown on this map. You have a FU10 for tax lot 600, and then you have R15 for tax lot 800, which is to the south. And approximately 45% of the property is within one or another natural resource overlays requiring a PUD. Access from the property, it comes from its frontage to the east on 142nd Avenue. The preliminary plans that you've been provided with show that the access aligns with Southeast Wenzel Drive intersection to the east. The applications that are before you here today are the zone change application for tax lot 600. As Ben described, the resource protected areas are given the R15, the lower density zoning, and the flatter areas where the existing home and improvements are slated to be R8.5. And a plan development subdivision, and there's a range minimum maximum density between 23 and 69 units. In this case, there's a 40 lot subdivision planned. In addition, there's a habitat conservation area development permit that's required, and that's before you here, and that's really more or less for a stormwater outfall that is located in that area. This is the site plan with just a few highlights on it, showing the public streets, the connectivity to the north and to the south, the cul-de-sac, as you mentioned before, because you can see the natural features there. This doesn't show topography. It's steep to the west, and the Sieben Creek to the west as well. So that's the reason for the cul-de-sac. Improvements are planned to 142nd Avenue, half street improvements. And we also, there's some wetlands on the site and streams, which are shown in the dark blue. A stormwater management facility is included in Tract A to provide pollution control and flow attenuation. Benefits of the project, just a few things. So it's going to provide homes for up to 40 families. It protects a big chunk of resource area, including the area where Sieben Creek wetlands and steep slopes are, preserves a large number of trees in that area, includes new street trees, transportation improvements, mainly the interior public streets, as well as the frontage improvements on 142nd Avenue. And as part of the TDTs or transportation development charges, you would have funds for future off-site intersection improvements. So as Ben mentioned earlier, the North Clackamas Parks and Recreation District submitted some comments about the trail designation based on a few maps they're referenced in section 1007 of the ZDO. And we provided since we received that this morning, we provided, you could call it a response, but it more or less is a memo supporting the staff report and the recommendations within. So the applicant concurs with the findings and recommended conditions of approval in the staff report, including the advisory condition of approval 4B, 2, C, and D, which are concerning the trail, the future trail. So with that, I'd like to answer any questions that you have, Mr. Turner, and thank you for your time. And I'll close out of our slideshow, and if we need to bring a slide up later, we can do so.
Great, thank you. Mr. Cadell, I had two questions. One came up while you were speaking, so let me find it. Oh, your memo that you mentioned, I haven't received it yet. I'll review it when I'm sure it's on my email somewhere, but given the electronic issues I've had today, I haven't seen it. In the geotechnical report, Exhibit H of the application, there's a figure right on the fold, figure two. It shows your stormwater facility. It also shows a dark line that mitigated measures are required for any structures of fill material beyond this line. And that's clearly on the western portion of the western lots. But a similar line goes through the corner, the west corner of your stormwater tract A. And it's not labeled. I'm not sure if that's what that's supposed to indicate or what.
I'm at the Geotech Exhibit H, okay. And on
yep.
the
figure two back.
Yeah, forgive me, I'm looking at it here. So you have figure two and then figure three. Sorry,
I'm figure
tracking you here.
Is what I had.
So
there's that dark line through the stormwater track A. What is that indicating? Is that also the slope line?
Yes. So, yeah, I think this mainly has to do with filling and structures in that area. And I think most of what's in that area is cut. Although it's all cut. So I don't think it's going to apply, but that's what the geotech recommended for those areas, is that they had some specific requirements that they had for things going in that area that applied to, like I said, filling and or structures. And in this case down there, I don't think there's either.
Okay. So that's putting a pond, a water pond there, that's not going to add weight like similar to fill, or would you're taking out dirt, so you're removing the fill and then adding water, and it zeroes out.
Water's better than dirt. Yep.
It doesn't, the stormwater pond is not going to be to affect those slopes then?
No.
Okay, thank you. That's the only question I had. Thank you. Is that it from the applicant at this point?
Yes, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Goodell. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify in support of this application? If so, please raise your hand. As we noted, you can click on that button. I am not seeing any. Okay, anybody who'd like to testify in opposition or with questions or concerns? Anybody else who's here? There we go. Gary Sinnen, I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Hey, Joe, could I add one thing real quick, if you don't mind?
Okay, Mr. Blessing.
Just to note, I meant to say it in my staff presentation, but I do believe NCPRD staff is here present at the hearing.
Yes. If they want to testify, and she did. Okay. But I'm going to start with Mr. Sinnen because he's the first hand that appeared. And
so he needs Gary Sinnen, and he will be followed by Heather Koch.
Okay. Does Mr. Sinnen need to unmute himself?
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, thank you. I live on Sharjan, just up the street to the north and to the east of the proposed development. My greatest concerns have to do with 142nd and how improvements might help to mitigate the additional traffic that this proposal is going to generate. So it sounds like there is a plan to have a sidewalk on the west side of 142nd fronting the development. And my question is, how far south towards 212, will that sidewalk extend? And then also in the northern direction along 142nd? Because if it does, if the sidewalk doesn't go all the way to the base of the hill and towards 212, it's going to be a sidewalk to nowhere.
I think you're muted, Joe.
Can you hear me? Good. Okay. I don't know what happened. I didn't touch anything that you started telling me. I'm sorry, Mr. Shannon. Didn't mean to interrupt there. Go ahead.
Oh. How much of what I said was heard?
I was hearing you that the sidewalk along the frontage is going to go. It's only going to go to the north and south boundary of this site, only along this site frontage. So as you noted, it will temporarily be a sidewalk to nowhere because the applicant doesn't own the properties necessary to construct the rest of the sidewalk.
Okay.
When those properties abutting this site redevelop, they'll extend the sidewalk.
So that may never happen.
It might, but they are zoned for development. And the county has to look at the long term, but the applicant cannot build the rest of the sidewalk because they don't own the necessary property.
And the rest of the property down below is in private ownership?
I think so. I'll ask staff.
Along the highway?
I believe it.
The right of way. Yeah, I mean, where's the right of way as you're going down? Downhill.
The applicant has to get the right of way in order to build the sidewalk. So there's not, it's my understanding, there's not enough enough right of way on the abutting properties to build an off-site sidewalk.
Okay.
And Mr. Blake.
Well, and given the steep slopes in the road, along the roadway going down, I don't know how sidewalks down along there would ever be engineered if and when the time came for it. You'd be talking about really tall retaining walls.
I understand that you can't hear anything right now. Our hearings officer is reconnecting.
Can you hear me now? Thank you. Sorry about that. That time I did hit a button because I didn't come in to call. I was trying to get rid of it. Okay. Anything else you wanted to add? Because I lost you there.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I'm just really skeptical about how and when or if the sidewalks can get extended all the way to 212. Until that happens, you know, and you're also talking about a trail and a bike way. Same issues. Mm-hmm. Same issues. You know, it's the people who are going to be living in that subdivision are going to have no way to get down to 212 to catch the bus. So that's a totally fake argument there.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I will ask staff and the applicant to respond to that when we return to them.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Can you click on the raise your hand button and your raised hand will go away and we'll
come back.
Coach, to the class? I'm not sure.
All right, this is Heather here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. My name is Heather Cook, and I am the Planning and Development Manager at the North Clackamas Parks and Recreation District. For the applicant or others who aren't familiar with NCPRD, which is our acronym, we're a service district of Clackamas County, so we're part of the Clackamas County government, but we're a service district exclusively dedicated to supporting parks and recreation throughout the North Clackamas community. We work with fellow staff of the county and many other public and private partners to provide these services, including with Clackamas County. And part of this work is relevant to this application and this applicant's proposal because we're dedicated to ensuring the development of trails that are part of the recreation transportation infrastructure, much like roads and fire and sewer and water trails are part of our community infrastructure. And doing so within the zoning and planning guidance of the county and other applicable jurisdictions. So we did write a memo this morning. Write a memo that Ben referred to this morning. We looked exclusively at the primary ZDO and comp plan sections that are relevant, although there are multiple levels of documents that apply to this requirement to build the trail. So we are emphasizing that the applicant is required under the ZDO and comp plan to build a trail as part of the development. This small section of path, it's quite small, but it will combine with other sections in the future to safely connect residents to schools and business districts, transit hubs, et cetera. The much larger responsibility of the long-term maintenance and capital repair are the responsibility of NCPRD. So I just wanted to take the time here, not to go into, you know, the layers and layers of plans that support this, but just to call out the major ones because we do find clear and objective standards in this documentation and come to a different conclusion than what you read in the staff report. First of all, the main section that we're referring to in the ZDO is 1007, and it also refers to the comp plan roadway standards. When there's a conflict between those, 1007 clearly states that the comp plan controls, so we are leaning on the comp plan for guidance, and that's important in this case because we have, you know, many documents that get threaded into the ZDO, and if you look at all of them, we see that they use words like trail and path and multi-use very interchangeably. So we can't exclude 5.3 as a standard, which is the multi-use path standard. We can't exclude that as a clear and objective standard for use on this trail. And that it does apply in this case. The ZDO also refers to and threads down through the comp plan to the Chapter 5 TSP bikeway map and plan as guides, which also have clear and objective standards, and they're referenced within these documents. There were also some notes in the staff report about the alignment. And I just wanted to clarify that that too is clearly designated on several maps. Typical with these public trail corridors that are within private property, they have to be drawn pretty flexibly so that when it actually comes time to working with property owners and applicants property by property, we can provide the necessary flexibility for the applicants to actually develop that trail in a way that is not an undue burden to them. So the specificity in those alignments are purposely built in with some flexibility so that we can work with applicants. And that's exactly what we'd love to do in this case. We'd like to work with the applicant, provide some guidance, talk about some great solutions to provide this as a community amenity and something that we can steward for the long term. Trying to see if there's anything else that I left out. I think if there's any questions or other comments, we did submit, as I said, some notes yesterday, but I think we probably, based on some of the conversation and staff report that we've seen since, we would like to hold the record open and submit some additional comments. And I think with that, okay. I'll leave it there. And if you have any additional comments, I'm here on the call as well as Tanya Williamson, who is our trails expert at NCPRD.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I did receive your memo this morning. It's Exhibit 26. I also received the county's email memo. I'm not sure if it's in response or not, but it addresses the clear and objective. Whether it's clear and objective, that was Exhibit 25. It's an email dated May 16th. I just want to make sure you've seen that and have the chance to respond to it. But if you, I am going to hold the record open for you to do that. And I'll address that at the end of the hearing. I just want to make sure you are aware of that memo and so you can respond to that as well.
Yes. Can you refer? I did see the staff report. What's the exhibit that you referred to from?
Exhibit 25.
Okay.
Exhibit 25 is a memo, an email from Jennifer Hughes, planning director.
Great. I will go ahead and I remember some conversation there. I'll go back to that and make sure we address that in our follow-up comments.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
I have a phone number 503-901-3965. You can hit *6 to unmute yourself.
Hi, my name is. Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
This is Matthew Matson. I live across the proposed site here, and I'm concerned about it.
Matson, how do you spell your last
name? M-A-T-T-S-O-N.
Thank you. I had it wrong. And what is your mailing address?
Do I need to give that? I'm concerned about retaliation.
If you want to be a party of record and make sure you receive a copy of my decision, yes. If you don't, you can take your testimony. But I can't make you a party of record, and I can't ensure you'll receive a copy of the decision.
Yeah, I don't need a copy of the decision.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Matson.
So we're concerned about the neighbors in this area, about the livability already in this area, and the increase of 40 more houses, the traffic that it's going to create, the traffic going down 142nd onto 212 right now in the mornings. The line is already very long, and if there's not, you know, talk of widening the road, doing something for all this increased traffic with 40 more houses, it's going to make that even worse. And then also this area is already overcrowded with schools, everything else. It just seems like all they care about is developing more and more and more houses and don't care about the livability for people that already live here.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Matson. And if you'll hit *9, it'll your hand go down, and *6, you'll mute yourself again. Is there anybody else who'd like to testify about this application who hasn't had a chance to do so? I'm trying to get to my screen so I can see. I'm not seeing any other raised hand. I'm pausing just in case somebody wants to. And I'm not seeing anybody. Okay. Mr. Goodell, anything further from the applicant? Oh, excuse me. Let me go back to Mr. Blessing first. Sorry. To the planning staff.
Thank you. Just a couple follow-ups on from NCPRD comments. I just wanted to note that Exhibit 25 I can mail to NCPRD, obviously, and I have it. If you want to just request it, I'll get it to you. I think you already have the email from prior, but I have that. As far as the flexibility, the trails being NCPRD, Heather noted that the delineation on the comp plan maps was clear and objective, but there needs to be some flexibility there. Well, the issue there is that word flexibility is kind of, it's not really clear and objective. So I think that's therein lies the problem of there not being clear and objective standards. There needs to be more of a precise kind of alignment. And so, and again, hopefully that can be sorted out down the road through changes to the ZDO where there's more precise alignment and precise construction standards. So that's my only comment on that. As far as Gary Simmons, the only thing I was going to mention is that I just briefly looked at the map, and just it is 142nd. You'd have private ownership all the way down from the applicant's property from the south down to 212. I didn't see there was any public. And unless Ken knows of any upcoming capital projects, as the hearings officer stated, it would have to be when, as new development comes through, the sidewalks will be developed, is my understanding. So I don't know is there any capital projects, Ken?
If I can add, yes. We do show a capital improvement project on our 20-year plan for 142nd, which would be completing pedestrian and bicycle facilities from Sunnyside down to 212. So that's, it's within the 20-year plan. So, as far as when that gets moved up to a current project, but it is something that's planned. So it would include ultimately sidewalks down to 212. In the meantime, it would be a matter of as those properties developed along, 142nd, then there may be improvements. But at least the county does have a long-term plan to construct sidewalks on 142nd.
That's all I have.
Anything else, Mr. Okay. Look real quick. Thought I had another question. Mr. Sinan also argued that the topography in that area may prevent construction of sidewalks. And if staff or the applicant has any response to that, no, it's fine. I'll leave it to the applicant.
It is steep. Yeah. They do, on the applicant's frontage, there's grading, and it's, it does create challenges. That's something that the county's project would need to acquire additional right-of-way slope easements and retaining walls as needed in order to construct that in the future.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Goodell, anything further from the applicant?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Turner. A couple of things. First is responding to a question that you had regarding the map that's included with the geotechnical engineer report. Looked at the report a little more carefully here while the testimony was going on. And if you see exhibit 2, which is the geotech report from our application, page 8, which is also.
I want to make sure I find it. I've got exhibit H of your application.
Yeah. So I guess it's exhibit 2 of the packet. I'm sorry. We got.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Your entire application is exhibit 2. It goes on for a ways.
Okay. So, page 2.
What page in there?
Page 230, and there's a table.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay, there's a table, and then there's a paragraph down below it, and it says, it's addressing the question that you had here. It says, in order to maintain adequate factors of safety for slope stability, we require that portions of the pond located below or beyond the setback line be constructed at or below existing grades. Also, we require that the pond be made impermeable by either a PVC liner or bentonite treatment. It's our understanding that a retaining wall proposed on the south side of the proposed on the south side of the stormwater pond. In our opinion, it will be feasible to construct the proposed retaining wall provided that it is constructed at or below existing grades and is adequately considered in the waterproofing details. So I think that's the information that you were looking for initially, hopefully. Second, Mr. Sinan testified mainly about the improvements on 142nd, and yeah, Ben described it, and I think you did as well, Mr. Turner. There's about 500 feet of frontage, a little bit less than 500 feet of frontage on 142nd, and that's the area where the sidewalk will be improved per the county standard and the conditions of approval. I think there was reference made to transit or a bus stop, and that's relates to the one of the various factors that are relevant to a zone change application from FU10 or to R8.5. And so there's a requirement that the site, not even a requirement, there's a factor that talks about having to be considered that the site is within a certain distance to transit. And in this case, it is. It's within a quarter mile of transit service. So that factor, not approval criteria, but that factor is satisfied. I think it's worth mentioning the NCPRD staff, we appreciate their testimony. It's worth mentioning that this project will generate nearly $250,000 of SDCs for the park district. Again, we concur with staff's recommendation, including conditions of approval. I think it's 4B, 2, C, and D, which are located on page 30 of 76 of the subdivision staff report. So those are advisory conditions, and the applicant can work with NCPRD on that. They're not mandatory conditions. And to that effect, the memo that I provided, which evidently you haven't seen yet because it was probably provided a half an hour or so before the hearing, because we just got the NCPRD memo this morning, speaks to the staff report, the email from the planning director to Ben, as part of all talking about clear and objective standards for land to be developed for housing. And I guess I would just add, just to highlight without spending too much time on it, the memo speaks to just a couple of requirements in the ZDO that have vague approval criteria. And if I would direct you to ZDO 1007.04B1 and 2, where it says pedestrian and bicycle facilities, and then it says shall be designed to, and then the next one, and it says number one, minimize conflicts between among automobiles, trucks, pedestrians, and bicyclists. Well, minimize is not a clear and objective criteria. And then number two, it says provide safe, convenient, and an appropriate level of access to various parts of the development, et cetera, et cetera. Well, safe, convenient, and appropriate levels of access are terms that are far from clear and objective. So we wanted to point that out. And then, as mentioned in the planning director's email, there's a section specifically regarding trails, and it says trail dedications or easements shall be provided and developed as shown on comprehensive plan map 9-1, open space, and then there's another map, open space, network and recreational needs, the facilities plan, figure 4.3 in NCPRD's Park and Recreation Master Plan. And then it references metros, regional greenways, trails, and greenways map. As mentioned in the planning director's email, those maps aren't even consistent among themselves. Map, comprehensive plan map 9-1 shows a ped path going east-west, an alignment that goes east-west, south of the property. And the other two maps show north-south alignment along the creek, basically. Those maps are like 1 to 2,000 scale, so they're very difficult to read, but that's what it looks like. And it's obvious based on the conflicts therein that there's going to have to be discretion involved in figuring that out. And so that's clearly, it's just not clear and objective criteria that as we understand it, can be applied to the application based on the testimony provided by the planning director and the staff report itself. So I guess we could talk about, now there's going to be an open record. So if you'd like to talk about dates how you want to do it, then I guess unless you have additional questions for us, then we'd like to do that at this point.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. What I was planning to do was hold it open for a week for Parks and Rec District and anybody else who wants to testify about that issue. I'm just going to hold the record open about the Parks and Rec, the trail requirement, let's put it that way. Then I can hold it open for a week for the applicant. Do you want to submit additional evidence or just argument on that issue? Because if it's just argument, that would be your final argument. I can hold it open for 1 week and we're done. Or if you want new evidence.
So it's hard to say without knowing what's going to come in. I would think it would just be argument, but if new evidence comes in that we have to respond to with new evidence, that's difficult to say. So I know it makes it difficult to plan, but.
In that case, I could just do a week for new testimony and evidence from anybody on this issue, a week for response from anybody on that issue, and a week for the applicant's final argument.
Yes, that's the way we'd like to do it. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Blessing, do you have access to a calendar? And can you tell me where we are with 120 days?
Yep, I think we're pretty good. Let me access that. Okay. Deemed complete. So looks like we need to have our 120-day deadline is actually it's August 12th, 2022. So over
sounds like we're okay.
Yeah.
So it's 3 weeks. 1 week from today is what, do you know?
The 30th.
Yep.
June 30th. Okay. And 2 weeks is the 7th.
Correct.
And then the 14th.
Yep.
Third week. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Great. Okay. Okay, thank you. So I'm going to close the hearing. I'm going to hold the record open for a total of 3 weeks, only for the address issue of the trail and whether the standards are clear and objective. Anybody wants to provide any argument about whether the application applicant is required to put in the trail through the site. I will hold it open for 1 week until June 30th for anybody to provide additional testimony and evidence about that issue. I will hold it open for a second week until July 7th for anybody to respond to the information that was submitted during that first week. And then for a third week until the 14th of July for the applicant's final argument. I will get my decision out within about 2 weeks after that, the 21st of July. That's only a week, 28th of July. I will send my decision to parties of record. So anybody who's testified orally or in writing and gave us their full address will be sure and receive a copy of my decision. Mr. Blessing, is it what time does anything have to be received by the county? Do you close at 5 or is there an earlier deadline?
I believe our closing deadline is actually 4 p.m. Yep.
4 p.m. Okay. Couldn't count fingers there. So anything anyone wants to submit has to be physically received by the county by 4 p.m. on the relevant date. So June 30th for initial comments, July 7th for responses, July 14th for the applicant's final argument. And you can send that to Mr. Blessing. Mr. Blessing will forward it on to me. And as I said, I will issue my decision roughly by the 28th of July. That concludes our hearing. Thank you all, and thank you for your patience with our technical issues this afternoon. Have a good afternoon.